ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 23 and 24. On the board we have Text 23. Shri Prahada Uvacha Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu स्मरणं पादसेवनम् अर्चनं वन्दनं दास्यं सक्यं आत्मनिवेदनम् श्रवणं कीर्तनं विष्णो स्मरणं पादसेवनम् अर्चनं वन्दनं दास्यं सक्यं आत्मनिवेदनम् श्रवणं कीर्तनं विष्णो स्मरणं पादसेवनम् अर्चनं वन्दनं दास्यं सक्यं आत्मनिवेदनम् श्रवणं कीर्तनं विष्णो स्मरणं पादसेवनम् अर्चनं वन्दनं दास्यं सत्यम आत्मनिवेदनम्। Mataji's
कीर्तनं विष्णु
வந்தனம் தாஷ்யம் சத்யம் ஆத்மனி வேதனம். வேர்ட் டு வேர்ட் மீனிங். ஸ்ரீ பிரஹலாத உவாச. பிரஹலாத் மகாராஜ் சேட் ஸ்ரவணம் ஹியரிங் கீர்த்தனம் சாண்டிங் விஷ்ணு லார்ட் ஸ்ரீ விஷ்ணு நாட் எனி ஒன் எல்ஸ் ஸ்மரணம் ரிமெம்பரிங் பாதசேவனம் சர்விங் த ஃபீட் அர்ச்சனம் ஆஃபரிங் வர்ஷிப் வித் சடோபசார. The 16 kinds of paraphernalia. Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the servant. Sakyam, becoming the best friend. Atmanivedanam, surrendering everything. Whatever one has. This is Sloka 23. Prabhupada wrote purport for 23 and 24 together. So 24th verse. Iti pumsarpita Vishnu bhakti channava lakshana kriyeta bhagavat tadda tanmanhedidam uttamam. Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with the body, mind and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. For these 2 slokas, Prabhupada is writing 15 page purport. 15 pages. So, in this, Srila Prabhupada is elaborately discussing about all these 9 processes of devotional service. Since time is limited for this class, I will be taking only 2 aspects. Shravanam and Kirtanam. So Brahma Samhita Prabhu, tomorrow also same sloka. If you want, you can write 24 tomorrow so that everybody can recite. But whoever speaks, they will continue with Smaranam, other aspects of devotional service. So today, I am going to read only Shravanam and Kirtanam because it's 15 page purport. Very elaborate. That shows how important this sloka is. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father to say something from whatever he had learned, he considered that what he had learned from his spiritual master was the best of all teachings, whereas what he had learned about diplomacy from his material teachers, Shanda and Amarka, was useless. Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Viraktir Anyatracha, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42. This is the symptom of pure devotional service. A pure devotee is interested only in devotional service, not in material affairs. To execute devotional service, one should always engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna, Lord Vishnu. The process of temple worship is called archana. How to perform archana will be explained herein. One should have complete faith in the words of Krishna, who says that he is the great well-wishing friend of everyone. ஸ்ரிதம் சர்வ பூதானாம். A devotee considers Krishna the only friend. This is called Sakyam. Pumsa Arpita Vishnu. The word Pumsa means by all living entities. There are no distinctions permitting only a man or only a Brahmana to offer devotional service to the Lord. Everyone can do so. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavad Gita 9.32, Sriyo Vaishyastata Sudra Stepi Yanti Parangatim. Although women, Vaishyas and Sudras are considered less intelligent, they also can become devotees and return home back to Godhead. After performing sacrifices, sometimes a person engaged in fruitive activity customarily offers the results to Vishnu. But here it is said, Bhagavat Tadda, one must directly offer everything to Vishnu. This is called sannyasa, not merely nyasa. A tridandi sannyasi carries three dandas, signifying kaya, mano, vakya, body, mind and words. All these should be offered to Vishnu, and then one can begin devotional service. Fruity workers first perform some pious activities and then formally or officially offer the results to Vishnu. The real devotee, however, first offers his surrender to Krishna with his body, mind and words, and then uses his body, mind and words for the service of Krishna as Krishna desires. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following explanation in his Tatya. The word Shravana refers to giving oral reception to the holy name, and description of the Lord's form, qualities, entourage and pastimes as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and similar authorized scriptures. After orally receiving such messages, one should memorize these vibrations and repeat them, kirtanam. Smaranam means trying to understand more and more about the Supreme Lord, and Pada Sevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and circumstances. Archanam means worshipping Lord Vishnu as one does in the temple, and Vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru, Bhagavad Gita 1865. Vandanam means namaskuru, offering obeisances or offering prayers. Thinking oneself to be Nitya Krishna Das, everlasting a servant of Krishna, is called Dasyam. And Sakyam means being a well-wisher of Krishna. Sri Sri Radha Ras Vihari Ji ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto Him because everyone is constitutionally His servant. Therefore, as a sincere friend of Krishna, one should preach this philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto Krishna. Atmanivedanam means offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence and whatever one may possess. One's sincere endeavor to perform these nine processes of devotional service is technically called bhakti. The word adha means directly. One should not be like the karmis who perform pious activities and then formally offer the results to Krishna. This is karmakanda. One should not aspire for the results of his pious activities, but should dedicate oneself fully and then act piously. In other words, one should act for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, not for the satisfaction of his own senses. This is the meaning of the word adha, directly. Anya vilasita sunyam jnana karma danavratam anukulyena krishnanu seelanam bhakti ruttama. Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, 1967. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably, without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. This is called pure devotional service. One should simply satisfy Krishna without being influenced by fruitive knowledge or fruitive activity. The Gopala Tapani Upanishad says that word bhakti means engagement in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of God, not of anyone else. The Upanishad describes that bhakti is the offering of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of God. To perform devotional service, one should be relieved of the bodily conception of life and aspirations to be happy through elevation to higher planetary systems. In other words, work performed simply for the satisfaction of Lord, Supreme Lord, without any desire for material benefits, is called bhakti. Bhakti is also called nishkarma, or freedom from results of fruitive activities. Bhakti and nishkarma are on the same platform, although devotional service and fruitive activity appear almost the same. The 9 processes enunciated by Prahlad Maharaj, who learned them from Narada Muni, may not all be required for the execution of devotional service. If a devotee performs only one of these 9 without deviation, he can attain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. Sometimes it is found that when one performs one of the processes, other processes are mixed with it. This is not improper for a devotee. When a devotee executes any one of the 9 processes, Navalakshana, this is sufficient. The other 8 processes are included. Now, let us discuss these 9 processes. This is like introduction for this 2 sloka. Now actual purport starts. Number 1, Shravanam. Prabhupada is going to discuss about Shravanam. So we are only reading, going to read only Shravanam and Kirtanam, to remind you. Shravanam. Hearing of the holy name of the Lord, Shravanam, is the beginning of devotional service. Although any one of the 9 processes is sufficient, in chronological order, the hearing of the holy name of the Lord is the beginning. Indeed, it is essential. As enunciated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antalila 20:12. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is cleansed of the material conception of life, which is due to the dirty modes of material nature. When the dirt is cleansed from the core of one's heart, one can realize the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1. Thus, by hearing the holy name of the Lord, one comes to the platform of understanding the personal form of the Lord. After realizing the Lord's form, one can realize the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And when one can understand His transcendental qualities, one can understand the Lord's associates. In this way, a devotee advances further and further toward complete understanding of the Lord as he awakens the realization of the Lord's holy name, transcendental form and qualities, his paraphernalia, and everything pertaining to him. Therefore, the chronological process is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. The same process of chronological understanding holds true in chanting and remembering. When the chanting of the holy name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia is heard from the mouth of a pure devotee, his hearing and chanting are very pleasing. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the chanting of an artificial devotee or a non-devotee. Hearing from the text of Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the most important process of hearing. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of transcendental chanting of the holy name, and therefore the chanting and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendentally full of mellows. The transcendental holy name of the Lord may be heard and chanted according to the attraction of the devotee. One may chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, or one may chant the holy name of Lord Rama or Narsingadev. Ramadi Murti Sukala Niyamena Tishtan. The Lord has innumerable forms and names and devotees may meditate upon a particular form and chant the holy name according to his attraction. The best course is to hear of the holy name, form and so on from a pure devotee of the same, pure devotee of the same standard as oneself. In other words, one who is attached to Krishna should chant and hear from other pure devotees who are also attached to Lord Krishna. The same principle applies for devotees attracted to Lord Ram, Lord Nrisimha and other forms of the Lord. Because Krishna is the ultimate form of the Lord, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, it is best to hear about Lord Krishna's name, form and pastimes from a realized devotee who is particularly attracted to the form of Lord Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees like Sukadeva Goswami have specifically described Lord Krishna's holy name, form and qualities. Unless one hears about the holy name, form and qualities of the Lord, one cannot clearly understand other processes of devotional service. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one chant the holy name of Krishna, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. If one is fortunate enough to hear from the mouth of realized devotees, he is very easily successful on the path of devotional service. Therefore, hearing of the holy name, form and qualities of the Lord is essential. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11, there is this verse, Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yashmin pratisloka baddhavattapi namani anadasya yashonkitani yad shinvanti gayanti grananti sadavah. Verses describing the name, form and qualities of Ananta Deva, the unlimited Supreme Lord, are able to vanquish all the sinful reactions of the entire world. Therefore, even if such verses are improperly composed, devotees hear them, describe them and accept them as bona fide and authorized. In this connection, Sridhar Swami has remarked that a pure devotee takes advantage of another pure devotee by trying to hear from him about the holy name, form and qualities of the Lord. If there is such opportunity, he alone chants and hears the Lord's holy name. Number 2, Kirtanam. The hearing of the holy name has been described above. Now let us try to understand the chanting of the holy name, which is the second item in the consecutive order. It is recommended that such chanting be performed very loudly. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says that without shame, he has begun travelling all over the world, chanting the holy name of the Lord. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, Tranadapi sunichena tarorapi sagushnuna amanina manadena kirtaneya sadahrihi. A devotee can very peacefully chant the holy name of the Lord by behaving more humbly than a grass, being tolerant like a tree, and offering respects to everyone without expecting honor from anyone else. Such qualifications make it easier to chant the holy name of the Lord. The process of transcendental chanting can be easily performed by anyone, even if one is physically unfit, classified lower than others, devoid of material qualifications, or not at all elevated in terms of pious activities. The chanting of the holy name is beneficial. An aristocratic birth, an advanced education, beautiful bodily features, wealth, and similar results of pious activities are all necessary for advancement in spiritual life, for one can very easily advance simply by chanting the holy name. It is understood from the authoritative sources of Vedic literature that, especially in this age, Kali Yuga, people are generally short-living, extremely bad in their habits, and inclined to accept methods of devotional service that are not bona fide. Moreover, they are always undisturbed by material conditions, and they are mostly unfortunate. Under the circumstances, the performer of the other processes, such as yajna, dana, tapa, and kriya, sacrifices, charity and so on, are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended, Harirnama, 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 Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyatah. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one advances perfectly in spiritual life. This is the best process of success in life. In other ages, the chanting of the holy name is equally powerful, but especially in this Kali Yuga, it is most powerful. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one is liberated and returns home back to Godhead. Therefore, even if one is able to perform other processes of devotional service, one must adopt the chanting of the holy name as principal method of advancing in spiritual life. Yajnai Sankirtana Praye Yajantihi Sumedasah. Those who are very sharp in their intelligence should adopt this process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. One should not, however, manufacture different times of chanting. One should adhere seriously to the chanting of the holy name as recommended in the scriptures. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. While chanting the holy name of the Lord, one should be careful to avoid 10 offenses. From Sanat Kumar, it is understood that even if a person is a severe offender in many ways, he is freed from offensive life, he takes shelter of the Lord's holy name. Indeed, even if a human being is no better than a two-legged animal, he will be liberated if he takes shelter of the holy name of the Lord. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of Lord's holy name. The offenses are described as follows. A. To blaspheme a devotee, especially a devotee engaged in broadcasting the glories of the holy name. B. To consider the name of Lord Shiva or any other demigod to be equally or as powerful as the holy name of Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor anyone is superior to Him. C. To disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. D. To blaspheme the Vedic literatures and literatures compiled in pursuance of the Vedic literatures. E. To comment that glories of the holy name of the Lord is exaggerated. F. To interpret the holy name in a deviant way. G. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the chanting of the holy name. H. To compare the chanting of the holy name to pious activities. I. To instruct the glories of the holy name to a person who has no understanding of the chanting of the holy name. J. Not to awaken in transcendental attachment for the chanting of the holy name even after hearing all the scriptural injunctions. There is no way to atone for any of these offenses. It is therefore recommended that an offender at the lotus feet of the holy name continue to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. Constant chanting of the holy name will make one free from offenses, and then he will gradually be elevated to the transcendental platform on which he can chant the pure holy name and thus become a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is recommended that even if one commits offenses, one should continue chanting the holy name. In other words, the chanting of the holy name makes one offenseless. In the book Nama Kaumudi, it is recommended that if one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he should submit to that Vaishnava and be excused. Similarly, if one is an offender in chanting the holy name, he should submit to the holy name and thus be free from his offenses. In this connection, there is the following statement spoken by Daksha to Lord Shiva, quote, I do not know the glories of your personality, and therefore I committed an offense at your lotus feet in the open assembly. You are so kind, however, that you did not accept this offense. Instead, when I was falling down because of accusing you, you saved me by your merciful glance. You are most great. Kindly excuse me and be satisfied with your own exalted qualities." End quote. One should be very humble and meek to offer one's desire and chant prayers composed in glorification of the holy name, such as Ayi Mukta Kulai Upasyam Manam and Nivritta Tarsai Upagiya Mana. One should chant such prayers to become free from offenses at the lotus feet of the holy name. Om Ajnanatim Randasya Gyanan Janasalakaya Sakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pasarcha Desatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gauravatta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I read only two processes of devotional service. Prabhupada writes more. Other are coming, seven, tomorrow. You can understand the importance of this verse by the elaborate purport Srila Prabhupada is giving. So we are very fortunate today to discuss this wonderful sloka of Prahlad Maharaj and inspiring purport by Srila Prabhupada on this auspicious month of Kartik. So for those who are not regularly attending this class, the background is that Hiranyakashipu put his son Prahlad in the boarding school of Chanda and Amarka for education. So Chanda and Amarka, they were well versed with politics, economics, dharma, artha, kama, all these things. So they were trying to teach him all these aspects. And Prahlad was not so much inclined in that because he was already situated in Krishna consciousness. Because he heard from Narada Muni, the transcendental Krishna consciousness. So he was already a devotee. Even when he was in the womb of his mother. So, when Prahlad was brought to Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu was very happy to see his son, and he very lovingly asked him, "What is the best thing that you have heard, you have learned?" He didn't even ask specifically any aspect, because if he doesn't answer, it will be embarrassing. "Tell anything that you have heard, anything." So, on the first occasion, Prahlad replied to Hiranyakashipu, "Tat sadhu manneya suravariya deginam sada samudvignadiyam asadgraha hitvatma patham grahamandakupam vanam gato yad harim ashritah." He said, "You know, what I consider best is that this material world, andakupam, deep dark well of material family existence, deep dark well, there is no life and suffering. Hitvatma patam graham andakupam vanam gato yad harim ashritah. Go to forest and take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Hari." It is not that Hiranyakashipu doesn't know how to go to forest. He went to forest, he did lot of tapasya, you know, he knew himself what he has to do. But here Prahlad, 5 years old kid, is telling that you better go to forest and take shelter and lot of feet of Hari. He was very surprised, shocked. But he didn't take it very seriously. Because he thought somebody must have polluted the mind of Prahlad. For that matter, Hiranyakashipu considers Lord Hari as his enemy. Because Lord Hari has killed his brother Hiranyaksha. Because of his attachment for his brother, because his brother was killed, he took him to be the enemy for his life. Now his son is telling, go to that enemy and take shelter at his lotus feet. How much irritating it would be. He tolerated it. He told his teacher, hey, what is this? Please take care of this boy and teach him properly. Put security around. Some people should not, demigod or somebody should not come and open a choice, voice, base nearby your Gurukul and try to come in and do some 3-session course, 7-session course and try to inject Krishna consciousness. Don't let that happen. Take care. Go. So he didn't really take it seriously. So he went back and teachers tried to preach to him saying that what is this, where you learned. He said, went on and on. Again after some time back to Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu again asked him, please tell Prahlad, what is the best of the thing you have learnt? And this is Prahlad's reply. Seriously, he said, go and take shelter at the lotus feet of Hari. Now he is telling how to take shelter. If you don't know, he may not know because he never did it. Nobody taught him. So he doesn't know. Now he is explaining about 9 ways of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. More elaborate. He is going one step further. What happens after that is a long thing that we will be discussing in the future Bhagavatam classes. So here, we are discussing about the 9 processes of devotional service. Starting with Shravanam, hearing. So in this particular class, I am only going to speak about 2 aspects of these 9, that is Shravanam and Kirtanam, because of restriction of time. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada elaborately explains about this process. Prabhupada quotes, Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Virakti Anyatracha, Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. So to this verse, Srila Jiva Goswami, 1 of 6 Goswamis, is giving a wonderful analogy. It is explained that a person who is seriously interested in pure devotional service, all other material things become unpalatable, disgusting. Srila Jiva Goswami gives an analogy here, exactly like how when one engages in bhakti, experiencing Lord Krishna's wonderful holy name, qualities, form and pastimes, he becomes completely detached from all the material things. Any attachment, any attraction to the material enjoyment. So Srila Jiva Goswami says, it is exactly like when a person is served with a feast, especially after fasting, a feast is served with all wonderful items, sweets, the best of the sweet you like, the best of the sabji, paneer sabji, pakoras, chutney, full feast is served. So, when a person starts eating, tushti, the first what happens is tushti. He becomes satisfied. Oh, I got a full plate, very nice. Not that I am missing any items. Any item is missing. Yeah, pakora nahi mila, pakora. Everything has come. First he is satisfied. I got it. Then, as he starts eating, then pushti come, nourishment. As soon as he starts eating, you feel the taste, very tasty, you know, nourishment. And from tushti, pushti comes. And as he is eating, there is a cessation of hunger. He was hungry because he was fasting, you know. So he starts eating, eating, eating. Slowly, slowly, he doesn't feel that hunger. Cessation of hunger. In the same way, Jiva Goswami compares, bhakti is tushti. You got it. Oh, 84 lakh species. I am born as a human being. Very nice. Oh, in the human form of life, I came to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very nice. Oh, I came to know that, you know, we have to render devotional service to Krishna in parampara. So I got the knowledge from this parampara. Very nice. It is like feast being served to you. Tushti is equal to bhakti, Jiva Goswami says. Then, pareshanu bhava. By rendering devotional service, he experiences the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Para isha anubhava. And that is equivalent to pushti, nourishment. He gets nourished. He gets nourished by the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As he becomes nourished, then there is virakti in him. Virakti, he is not at all attracted to anything material. Not at all attracted. They are there. So many attraction for so many sense enjoyment, it is there, but he is not attracted to them. So in this way, for a hungry man who is busy eating and relishing the feast, anything else, if it is offered to him, he considers it to be a disturbance. When somebody is hungry and he is relishing, so you go to that person and say that, can you please, today evening, can we go there and start again? It may be the best of the things he may be offering. No, you come to my room, I'll do this. Hey, I'm busy, Baba. Don't disturb me, no. So in the same way, for a person who is hungry and eating, anything else offered will be disturbance. For a person, Jiva Goswami says, for a person who is sincerely engaged in pure devotional service and relishing it, any material thing offered to him is like a disturbance to him. Virakti. Natural. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments here saying that renunciation means giving up something which you like the best, not which you don't like. Somebody naturally doesn't like Karela. He said that, no, I am renounced from Karela, What a big deal about it. You don't like it anyway. If you like gulab jamun, if you say that I am renounced from gulab jamun, that has some meaning. You don't like something, what is the big deal about renunciation? If you don't possess it, you can't renounce, You can't say that, you walk in the Nariman point and say that, I am renouncing this Oberoi Tower. But you don't have it, how you'll renounce it? If you possess it, it's okay. I am renouncing this, I am renouncing. For renouncing, one should have it, and one should like it. And that liking when you give, that is renunciation. That is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, the discussion goes further. Prabhupada says there is the devotional service has to be direct, not indirect. Sometimes karmis, they may try to do some pious activity and convert that piety into doing some devotional activity that is like indirectly. Somebody may work and earn money, and that money is little of that you give it to Krishna. That is indirect. But pure devotional service, direct. And Rupa Goswami explains how that pure devotional service should be. Anya vilasita shunyam jnana karma danavratam anukulena krishnanu silanam bhakti uttama. Uttama, pure devotional service. Which is devoid of anything to do with, jnana, karma, anything. Only motive is to anukulena, favorably rendering service to Krishna under all circumstances, with all the facilities available. That is classified as pure devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Gopala Tapani Upanishad, and he says that bhakti means engagement in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. It cannot be some demigod bhakti. Somebody may say that you have got Krishna bhakti, I have got this bhakti, I have got that bhakti. The word bhakti itself is meant only for devotion to Lord Krishna. Gopala Tapani Upanishad clarifies. Srila Prabhupada explains, though these 9 processes of devotional services are there, even if a person executes one process perfectly, then he can achieve perfection. Even one process. Sometimes it is found that even while executing one process, there may be other processes overlapping. Prabhupada says nothing wrong about it. Suppose one says, chanting Hare Krishna. So we chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna. Anybody chanting 192 rounds of Hare Krishna? Anybody? Then there are a lot of more time left in your day. So something else you may have to do, some archana, some vandana, some smarana, so many things. So that is perfectly all right. But even if one process a person, like Namacharya, he was only chanting, because 24, Prabhupada writes, one should chant 24 hours a day. If one offends holy name, offenses against the holy name, he should take shelter of holy name. How to take shelter of holy name? Chant the holy name 24 hours a day, so that he won't have time to offend anybody else. You have to have some time, So, we will discuss about Shravanam and Kirtanam. Hearing and chanting. Prabhupada explains, hearing is the first process. Unless you hear about something, you cannot get the knowledge of it. And then you cannot pursue further. To pursue anything, first you have to know about it. Hearing. So knowledge comes first. So unless one hears properly from the authorized source, you will not get the proper knowledge. So the person who actually chants or speaks, for example, Prabhupada explained that this Bhagavatam is a wonderful literature. By simply hearing this Bhagavatam, giving oral reception to Srimad Bhagavatam, all the contaminations within the heart goes away. Natural consequence, so to say. So, this Bhagavatam speaker, there are some qualifications. You can take Srimad Bhagavatam and start talking, but then, depending upon the qualification of the person who speaks, it creates effects. Yeah. Speaker who is free from all vices, all duplicity, well versed in all the scriptures, he knows how to connect things, how to bring out the essential point out, he knows how to answer to the question of the sincere hearer, one who is hearing. He may have questions, inquisitiveness, inquiries, how to answer them. and be submissive. Coming in the disciplic succession, faithful to his guru, parampara, not that he starts manufacturing something new. These are all the qualifications of the speaker. So unless the speaker is bona fide, what he speaks will not be bona fide. So if a person wants to get the bona fide knowledge, bona fide information, he has to go to a bona fide speaker. So, Sukadeva Goswami is one such bona fide speaker who is speaking to Srimad Bhagavatam. And he is speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, who is a sincere soul, very inquisitive to know about what is the ultimate goal, what is that one should do. A person who is going to die in 7 days, what is that I am supposed to do? Very inquisitive. This is a qualification of the hearer. Not that to pass time somebody sitting, or for some other purpose somebody sitting and hearing. Sometimes in colleges you have to go to the class because you need attendance. If you don't have attendance, you can't appear in the exam. So jana hi padega. So then gaya, baith gaya. Where? Back bench. And then he is in the class. Things are happening. Teacher is teaching. He may be teaching nicely also. But if he is not attentive to the teaching, what he'll get? Previously, the college life, classroom life was different. Now it must be very different with all smartphones and different kinds of things. What all people will do, we don't know. So you sit in the back bench and you don't be attentive in the class, what do you learn? Attentiveness is very important. Because it is not just the sound vibration is going to change anything drastically. What goes inside should remain inside, not that the sound goes from one ear and comes out of another ear. Nothing remains inside. What effect it will make? The transcendental sound vibration is very potent to cleanse the heart. Very potent to inspire a person to take Krishna consciousness seriously. Very potent to cut the knot of entanglement in the material world. And one has to be attentive in hearing. So, you can see, Parikshit Maharaj, as he was very attentive in hearing, in the same way, there are so many cases. Narada Muni is another bona fide speaker on Bhagavatam. Most bona fide speaker on Bhagavatam. He was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to wife of Hiranyakashipu, Kayadu, who was pregnant. He was speaking to Kayadu, whereas she was not very attentive. She was like somebody sitting in the Bhagavatam class and very tired and doing different yoga called Nidra Yoga. Whereas in the womb, he is not even born. Prahlad was not even born, he is still in the womb. And Narada Muni was speaking Bhagavatam, and Prahlad, who is inside the womb, he was very attentive to that Bhagavatam. So much is the effect of his attentiveness that at birth only he was a devotee. Nobody ever went to Hiranyakashipu's palace and taught him devotional service. And he is speaking that, Tatsadhu Manni, Suravariya Degina. Who taught him? Nobody taught him. In the womb only he became a devotee. Can you imagine this? Whereas his mother, who was also hearing, there was no effect. Not attention, no attention, no effect. So sitting in Bhagavatam class is not the end, it's beginning actually. No, what do you mean? No, I sat in Srimad Bhagavatam class for 10 years, I must be a pure devotee. Sorry. We'll have to gauge what is your level of attentiveness, how much you absorbed it, so much sound went inside, how much retained, how much went out, we have to see also. If it is retained, it can create some effect. If it is not retained, it may not create effect. Attentive hearing. There is a story of Gokarna in Srimad Bhagavat Mahatmya, in which Gokarna was a devotee who wanted to liberate his brother who was in the form of a ghost because of committing so many sinful activities, and he was being killed. by his wives. He was a ghost. So he felt that he has to liberate him. So he called for Bhagavata Sapta. Nowadays it is so famous that people recite Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. So 7 days he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And this ghost brother, he was inside, so many people are hearing, and his ghost brother was inside a bamboo. Inside a bamboo. And one day, Bhagavatam reciter, the knot of bamboo, tick, breaks. Another day, another knot breaks. Bamboo's knot. There are knots, joints, joint. Like that, 7 days, 7 knots broke, and then, his brother, Dundukari, he was completely liberated. And Vaikuntha Vimana came, Yar Vaikuntha, and he had valid passport and visa, and he was taken back to Godhead. The question was asked, so many people are hearing, why only this fellow went and only one person went, what about others? It is said that the Srimad Bhagavat Katha can break the knots of the bamboo. But if a person is so much attached to material things, it is very easy to break the knots of the heart also. But a person is adamant, not allowing the knot of the heart to be broken. He said that this is knot of the heart. Pumsa striya mituni bhavametam tayo mito hridaya granti ma. Hridaya granti mahu. Hridaya granti means hard knot of the heart. Ato gragat kshetra sutapta vittay janasya mohoyam aham maneti. And a person thinks, I am the controller. These are all belonging to me. I am the enjoyer. I am going to enjoy. He's not allowing the knot to be broken. If somebody does not allow the hard knot of the heart to be broken, there is no question of Air Vaikuntha coming. You won't even get another helicopter. What to speak of Air Vaikuntha coming. So in the assembly, there are so many people. Only Dundukari went because he was very inquisitive. He was attentive. He wanted to know why he is suffering in the ghost body. So he was very attentive. Nothing else he was worried about. Maybe others were worried about when will be the prasadam served, what will be on the menu. If one is thinking rasgullas all will come, then be with rasgullas. Forget about Krishna's lotus feet, which is more sweeter than rasgulla. It's sweet, yeah, it's sweet. You don't want to know it, yeah, you have to try. He only keeps tasting rasgulla and think that is the ultimate taste. There is something higher taste. The sweet lotus feet of Krishna. For that one has to be attentively engaged in the process of hearing. Sometimes the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is so potent that you may say that, okay, I am a very qualified hearer. I am a very qualified person to hear. I don't find anybody qualified to speak Bhagavatam. Koi aise baith jata kuch na kuch bol deta, kya Bhagavatam bol? I am very qualified to hear, but there is nobody to speak Bhagavatam. Don't worry, still have some hope. Still have some hope. During the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was one devotee, Devananda Pandit. It even happened much before Lord Chaitanya descended. Devananda Pandit was a scholar on Bhagavatam. So he used to have classes on Bhagavatam where many people will come and learn Srimad Bhagavatam. So he will explain all the meanings to all them, and everybody used to like his speech. So hearing this, one day Srivas Pandit, one of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam because Bhagavatam is nectar, ripened fruit of all the Vedic literatures. He wanted to go and hear. So he sat in that assembly, and there was a discourse. Devananda Pandit is describing various aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam. All the students were learning. As Shiva's Pandit. He heard several slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. He was feeling ecstasy. He was feeling ecstasy of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam sloka. So he started crying. He started, you know, rolling on the floor, and his hairs are standing on the head, you know, end, and then, you know, he was exhibiting ecstatic symptoms of pure devotional service. Whereas the students there say, hey, kya kar rahe? Hey, barabar bhai ki suno. You should be attentively hearing, you are rolling. There is always understanding and higher understanding. There is understanding is there, there will be higher understanding. They said, you should be sitting nicely and attentively hearing Bhagavad. Instead of that, you are crying and rolling. Kya baat? So, unko nikal diya. No, no, you are a disturbance here. Nikal. Devananda Pandit did not object to it. Because of which, he is considered an offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. He was reciting Bhagavatam. Whereas, he did not know what the Bhagavatam can have effect on the sincere hearer. He should have known that this person is exhibiting the ecstatic symptom of love of Godhead, which is supposed to be the purpose of reading Bhagavatam and performing devotional service. He did not know that. He did not even object his, okay, he knows and his students did not know. He should have objected to his students. Hey, wait a minute, leave him alone. Let him keep rolling, you know, what's your problem? You study, no. Suppose somebody rolling there, how does it make any difference? If he is really in ecstasy, if he is creating disturbance, that's another thing. How does it matter? They didn't know. Student did not know, okay, your speaker also does not know, you are not qualified to speak. He was concerned, offended. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, unless you take their mercy, unless you apologize to, you know, Shiva's Pandit, there is no scope for you. What is the value of doing so many things when your devotional path, you have reached a dead end? Nowhere to go. Can't cross it. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is so potent that even if the person who hears is highly qualified, if he will get advantage of it even if the speaker is unfit. That is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it came from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. Nectarian. So, in this way, one should certainly hear about the wonderful pastimes of Krishna, but one has to be a little bit cautious about one thing that Srila Sanatana Goswami says, that one should not hear Srimad Bhagavatam from an artificial devotee or a non-devotee. There are so many professional speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam. Professional means they make speaking Bhagavatam as a profession, as a means of livelihood. That cannot create much effect in one. A non-devotee, a scholar is speaking on Bhagavatam. A scholarship is not a criteria for one to give the pure message of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is stated that it is as good as milk touched by a serpent. Milk is nourishing, but if the serpent touches, then it becomes venomous, poisonous. That is not a good effect. So one should, if a person is sincere devotee, but he is not pure enough, that is okay. He is sincere, following the regulative principles, following the parampara system, he is representing his guru. Sincerely speaking, he is not very highly advanced, fine, no problem. Somebody not coming in parampara, he is doing it for money, he is doing all the explanation for name, fame and glory. No. That is not allowed. Sanatan Goswami. Srila Prabhupada quotes Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that such literature even if it is improperly compiled, even if it is not spoken with perfect language, not spoken with to impress many people, still they should be accepted as pure, because it's a message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada explains that when a person has heard properly, then he will follow it by reciting Kirtanam. Kirtanam means chanting, glorifying. Kirtanam can be several things. Anything that is to please Lord Krishna is Harikirtanam. Idam mi pumsa tapasasvutasyava suktasya suktasya sabuddhidattayo avichitota nirubhuri kavipinam yat uttama sloka gunanu varnanam. Uttama sloka gunanu varnanam. Any expertise one may have when they are engaged in service of Krishna, avichitota kavibir nirupitam, the learned personalities have concluded, yet uttama sloka gunanu varnanam. Any expertise one may have, be it your oratory, be it your expertise in presenting, be it your programming computers, be it so many things, if they are properly engaged in service of Krishna, that is Harikirtanam, Srimad Bhagavatam. So how can one do this Harikirtanam properly? Kirtanaya Sadahari, Srila Prabhupada quotes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tranadapi Sunichena Taroreva Sagasnuna Amanena Manadena Kirtanaya Sadahari. The effect of a person being pure should be known by Sadahari Kirtanam. Kirtanaya Sadahari. Always chanting the holy names of Krishna. Always engaging glorifying Supreme Personality of God. This always means 24 hours. How can one be able to do? If one can get the qualities of more humbler than the blade of grass, Tranadapi Sunichena, more tolerant than the tree. Tree is very tolerant. More than that what? Grass is already humble. More than that what? Amanena Manadena, giving respect to others and not expecting that, is very difficult. And if one can do it, he will be able to chant the holy name 24 hours a day, Namacharya Haridastakur. He has achieved this. Pre-qualification to be Kirtanaya Sadahari. So, in the age of Kali, there is no other way to advance in Krishna consciousness than chanting the holy names of Krishna. This is the verdict of scriptures. It's not that I like it, you don't like it. No, it's the verdict of the scripture, words of Supreme Personality of God. So Prabhupada explains that in chanting the holy names of Krishna, one should be very careful in avoiding the offenses against the holy name. Prabhupada, we all know 10 offenses against the holy name of Krishna. Chanting the holy names, offenses are there. If one chants the holy names and keeps on committing offenses, he cannot make any progress in Krishna consciousness. He can be happy that he is chanting, but at the end of the day, if you have to go back home, back to Godhead, you have to make progress. You have to cleanse the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam. If heart is not getting cleaned and he is only chanting mechanically, he is not going to help. It's not like Kirtanam means parrot Kirtanam. Parrot, you teach parrot something, it can say, Hare Bo, Hare Bo. You can teach parrot. You know? He can say that, I will teach parrot to chant Hare Bo, and he'll go to Krishna. He will be Hare Bo actually. He can keep telling, maybe next lifetime something will happen. Parrot chanting, mechanical chanting doesn't help. One has to chant, avoiding all the offenses. So, this avoiding offenses in the path of Kirtanam is such that, without which there is no scope to go further. Many times we don't take it seriously. எஸ்பெஷலி இந்த கம்பெனி ஆஃப் டிவோட்டீஸ் வி டேக் திங்ஸ் வெரி கேஷுவலி. ஐ சொல்றேன், வாட் ஆர் ஐ வாண்ட், ஐ ஜஸ்ட் கீப் டூயிங் இட், ஐ எம் அ டிவோட்டி பிரபு, ஐ கேன் டூ எனி திங் ஐ வாண்ட். ரியலி? ஓகே. நோ, யூ ஆர் ஓன்லி ட்ரைங் டு பி அ டிவோட்டி. பிகினிங் இஸ் நாட் நோ இந்த இட்ஸ் நாட் அன் எண்ட். சேஞ்சிங் த கப்படா இஸ் நாட் அன் எண்ட், இட்ஸ் பிகினிங். புட்டிங் அ திலக் இஸ் நாட் எண்ட், இட்ஸ் பிகினிங். சாண்டிங் 16 ரவுண்ட்ஸ் இஸ் நாட் எண்ட், இட்ஸ் பிகினிங். Taking initiative, Prabhu, I am initiative also, you know that, I am more advanced. No, it's beginning. Beginning is such that it looks like, is there an end actually? We can make the end very faster to come if one, if we take, you know, sincere effort. It's not impossible. It's not mission impossible. It is very much possible. It all depends upon how we take it. Here Prabhupada quotes Daksha, quotes Daksha, how Daksha was an offender at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yathasambhu, he is the topmost Vaishnava, and he offended him left and right, so grossly, openly, in front of everybody. He had conducted a sacrifice, and the sacrifice, the first person to receive the sacrificial offering is Lord Vishnu. Then Shiva has to get it also, his share. Your sacrifice cannot be complete without Shiva getting the, you know, sacrificial share. And he denied outright, openly, great offender. And the result is that he was to fall down. His head was chopped, beheaded, and his head was not only chopped, it was burnt in the sacrificial fire. And in spite of all these things, when Lord Shiva saw him, he actually did not take his offense. That is Vaishnava. He said, "Theek." Ultimately said, "Okay, in sacrificial arena, there was a head of a goat." He said, "Put the goat on his head, you know, you let him have the goat head." So he survived, he didn't die, his body came back to life and his head was goat. In front of mirror when he goes, he'll see every day, "I am an offender." You know? But from Shiva, he didn't take his offense. Forgave it. Chala. This is Vaishnava. The quality of Vaishnava will be seen when somebody is offending, still he doesn't take the offense. Amanena manadena. Not only just not expecting respect and giving respect, but even worse than that, an offense also he doesn't take. So in this way, we have so many cases of offenses, but then we have limited time, so we will restrict to few. Sometimes an offense is very open, something like Daksha. He is so foolish that the script, he is going to conduct an yajna. The scriptural guidance is that every demigod should get his share. And it is very clear that Shiva has to get his share. But because he didn't like Shiva, because he got married to his daughter, and according to his standard, he was not up to his stature. He thought that, you know, this fellow is in crematorium. Kya kya pehna hai? He was having his own calculation and he offended. Open offense. Sometimes we may not even know that we are offending, because we are used to it. Aisa karte karte to aa raha hai. So unintentionally, one may say that humko to maloom hi nahi tha, phir bhi there will be effect. Not to just Tom, Dick and Harry devotees. When he said Tom, Dick and Harry, Bhakta Tom, Bhakta Harry and Bhakta Dick. Those people unintentionally did it. No, even if one is on the very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, one who is relishing the pastimes of Krishna when he chants the holy name of Krishna, somebody like Rupa Goswami, who is giving guidance to us how to become devotee. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadesha Amrita, he is giving. And most of you may know that one of the days when he was chanting the holy names, he was relishing the pastime, and remembering that pastime, he actually smiled. At the time, there was a devotee who was limping, was differently able devotee. He was walking. And that devotee thought that he is smiling because I am going in front. That has nothing to do with Rupa Goswami. He didn't intend anything. He was in his samadhi. He was not even seeing that he is going. He was in his samadhi and he is relishing and he is smiling, and this person is thinking that maybe he is offending me. And Rupa Goswami, because of the offense taken by this person, which was unintentional, he didn't even intend to do it actually. He took it like that. Still, his samadhi broke. He could not relish the wonderful pastimes of Krishna when he chanted. He said that, what is happening now? He went to his brother, Sanatan Goswami. Something. He said that, you must have offended somebody. No, no, I didn't offend. You did not intend to offend. But somebody has taken offense of your action. So that effect has taken. Then rest is different thing. We host a feast and call everybody, and that person who took offense, he won't come to that feast actually. That means he feels so hurt. Offense means a person is hurt, displeased. He is so hurt that even if you are going to serve a big feast, he doesn't come. So everybody came except this person. Then Rupa Goswami was told, please go and ask for forgiveness from this person. Then it will be. He said, I don't know what I did to you. I'm sorry. No, on that day when I was walking, you laughed at me. No. When? No, that day? I didn't laugh at you. Which day? Oh, I was actually relishing the pastime of Krishna and I was laughing. I didn't even see you. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Haribol, Vancha Kalpatar. Not a Nautanki Vancha Kalpatar. Real. Then his offense was like that. Unintentional. So, one should be how much careful. Intentional offenses. Sometimes people may know offenses still. Chalta hai. Nahi chalta hai. Chalta hai. Abhi ke liye chalega. Upar jane ke nahi chalega. Utega nahi. Upar to jane ke liye thoda viman chahiye na. That will not happen. Chalte jaye. Idhar hi rehna padega. So much so that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his mother that actually you have offended Advaita Acharya. Sachi Mata thought that because of the association of Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So she was very upset with Advaita Acharya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because you offended Advaita Acharya, you will not get the Krishna prema. This is Krishna's mother, and Krishna is telling, you will not get it. You better apologize. You take the dust from the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya. Then only, there is some scope. How much serious business it is. Krishna consciousness is a very serious business. And unless one is very careful, he will be the loser. He will be the loser. So in this way, the offenses while kirtanam is very, very important. One should be very, very cautious to avoid. Otherwise, one's devotional creeper can be smashed. Mad elephant entering into a garden. Imagine. There is a garden of not teak wood and coconut tree, not that garden. Creepers. Creepers means very delicate. Like flower, creepers. In fact, the creepers require some support to even stand. Creepers, very soft, small creepers. If a elephant entering is one thing, forget about elephant. Even if a bull enters, it will be a big mess. Elephant, not just ordinary elephant, mad elephant entering the garden of creepers, not trees, creepers. So, what will be the what will be the status of his creeper? Completely, finished. Devotional service is compared to creeper. Bhakti Lata. Bhakti Lata ka beej dal diya, abhi Lata is coming. Creeper is coming. And one should safeguard this creeper. If instead of safeguarding the creeper, if one allows the mad elephant offenses, offenses are compared to mad elephant. Offenses. Our bhakti, devotion is compared to creeper. And the offenses are compared to mad elephant. And the mad elephant can create havoc to the creepers. Finished. The chance of survival is very, very less. Very, very less. So, that is the seriousness of one trying to practice devotional service. And especially in the age of Kali, chanting being the most important aspect of cleansing the heart. Heart can be cleansed very potently by means of chanting the holy names of the Lord. So while performing this chanting the holy names of the Lord, one should be very, very, very careful to avoid offenses, both intentionally and unintentionally. And the question may be asked, if unintentionally if I have committed, I don't even know what it is, then only scope is to surrender the holy name, chant 24 hours a day. If one commits offense at the lotus feet of the holy name, so if Prabhupada explains, if you commit offense against a Vaishnava, then you go to that Vaishnava and beg forgiveness. So if one commits offense against the holy name of the Lord, then he has to take shelter of the holy name only more. There is no other way. So one has to seriously and sincerely chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this way, one can actually achieve the perfection of cleansing the heart, and that can result in making the goal of life, Krishna Prem, taking shelter at the sweet lotus feet of Krishna perfectly and go back home, back to garden. So with this, we'll stop here. Is there any questions or comments? Bouncer? Leave it safely.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for the wonderful class.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you said in the class that pure devotees are not offended. So by quoting the example of Lord Shiva, you said that he was not offended by Daksha Prajapati. But at the same time, when we see it in the case of when Kamdev came tried to disturb him in his meditation, so there were, I am not sure about this, but there were certain signs of anger and he burnt him down to ashes. So, means I am not able to correlate this. Can you throw some light on this?
Daksha was an offender. His purpose was to insult him, humiliate him. He didn't want to accept him as his son-in-law. He felt ashamed to accept Lord Shiva as his son-in-law. So he was an outright offender. Outright offender. Whereas in the case of Kamadev, Kamadev's purpose was very different. He wanted to agitate the senses of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is a dhira. He is a perfect controller of senses. So he was trying to play mischief, of trying to agitate, to show that, no, even Shiva can be agitated. So, Lord Shiva wanted to show to the world how, you know, he is a dhira, right? So it is a pastime different altogether. It is not, he didn't come to offend him. He didn't come to offend him. He was not an offender. But he was a mischief maker. Mischief. Then sometimes disciplining is also required. That disciplining doesn't mean that, you know, if you don't take any discipline, people may take it granted also. For example, you say a mild punishment to him. You may think, hey, what do you mean? Mild punishment is burnt to ashes. Just a mild punishment. You know, life is long, you know. He's going to get back afterwards anyway. So it is actually to show that, you know, even Kamadev cannot attract him. It is a lot bigger. The picture is much more bigger. To show that how that person who was burned to ashes by Lord Shiva, that person trying to agitate, if that person tries to agitate Lord Krishna, what will happen to him? It's a larger thing actually. You don't see only of Shiva only. Later on it is going to come that even when Kamadev tries to see Krishna, Kamadev goes wild. So it is a larger plot of show how the supremacy of Krishna is. Madana Mohana. Madana. Here is Madana, who can agitate everybody except Lord Shiva. That means Lord Shiva is higher than anybody. Theek hai? Then comes, okay, if he deals with Krishna, then he goes wild. That means he is greater. So to put Krishna on the top, so it's larger thing. So him burning to ashes is just a mild punishment to him. Discipline. Disciplinary action is required. To show the whole world how. It is another thing you can see, to show that how Lord Shiva, who actually burnt Madana to ashes when he tries to agitate his senses, when Lord Vishnu took the form of Mohini Murti, Malame? Mohini Murti. Lord Shiva said, I heard that, you know, you took the form of Mohini, no, I want to see. He said, why unnecessarily, you know, you are bothering? Because Garbhara, no. I already burnt Madana to ashes, you know. Amara credit dekho, credit rate dekho. Kya samajh? No problem. Then Lord Krishna takes the form of Mohini and Lord Shiva, he goes wild. He goes to capture, and what Lord Vishnu does, he goes to all the higher planetary system, all the lower planetary system, pura gumaya, ektur leliya. Chalo. He went all to show that, see, Lord Shiva, who is Dhira, who can burn Madana to ashes, unka halat dekhna kaisa hai. He was completely, his senses are agitated. To show that how Lord Krishna's position is superior. It's a whole bigger picture, not just restricted to that. So that is how, then Lord Shiva said, theek hai, amara position abhi maloom hai, kitna dheera hai. You can be dheera with all the people, with Krishna, the game plan is different. That is the supremacy of Lord Krishna. So to show how Krishna is supreme, personality of Godhead, so these pastimes are there.
Krishna Prabhu. Prabhuji, you have said that understanding and higher understanding. So please explain something, that the difference between understanding.
Dharma and paradharma. And normal things are there, exceptions are always there. Dharma one should be following, right? That's a paradharma. So when you are following paradharma, normal dharma can be given away. Savai pumsam paradharmo yador bhakti radokshaje. We have duty, natural duty, our duty towards parents, our duty towards society, our duty towards friends, our duty towards nature, our duty towards this, duty towards duty, duty, duty. So many duties are there. These are all because we assume this body. Connected to this body, we have got certain duties. Deva Rishi Bhutapta Nirnam Pitrunam Nagankaro Yam Mayam Rinicharajan Sarvatmanaya Saranam Saranyam Gato Mukunda Parihrutya Kartu. Even though we have got all these duties, if one can take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, if he takes shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, even though all these duties are, you can consider dharma, and they are all waived because you are going to do some paradharma. Savai pumsam parodharma. Dharma should be done. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, sarva dharman parityajya, give away. So that giving away is for higher purpose. And that higher purpose is devotion to Krishna, paradharma. So for a higher purpose, lower purpose can be sacrificed. But if you are not going to do the higher purpose, you at least have to do lower purpose. Then you become sinful. So in the same way, so there is always a higher way of understanding things. So normal thing is dharma and devotional service is paradharma. So in the same way one should understand that for higher purpose, lower purpose can be given away. By giving lower purpose, one cannot blame him because he is doing something higher. उनका हाथ को आप उठा रहे क्यों? उनका दे दो.
Shoji, one more.
जल्दी करो. भूख लगता है ना सबको.
Shoji, you have said that.
Krishna katamrutam. Amrutam. This is supposed to be amrutam. But if kichdi is going to be amrutam, we'll finish it faster. Yes.
Yes, Shoji, you have said that those who are not allowed to break their knot of the heart.
Those who are? Mic mein baat karo.
Those who are not allowed themselves to break the knot of the heart, knot of the heart by using the holy name and cannot be break by any other way.
Cannot be?
Break. Cannot be break by any other way.
Cannot be broken by any other way.
Any other way. So, with the example, can you explain to us?
Anything like, you know, somebody wants to do jnana, karma, yoga, these are all not going to break the hard knot of heart. No, hard knot of heart. It's only devotional service which can break. It's only the sword of knowledge that I am spirit soul. Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. My duty is to serve him. Eternal duty. Eternal duty is to serve him. I am going to do that. If you have come to that conviction, yes, then you can break it. Otherwise, not possible. The knot becomes harder and harder, actually. The more you keep doing things in the material world, it becomes harder and harder. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, when Narada Muni was speaking...
Speak into the mic.
Narada Muni was talking Bhagavatam to Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj was still in the womb, right? So how did Prahlad Maharaj understand the language if he still didn't learn Sanskrit?
Acha, a e nahi hai jo bolte kaisa maloom pada. This is IIT question. By the way, he is from IIT. Wonderful, very good, interesting. अरे अभी एलकेजी यूकेजी नहीं गया, इज अटेंडिंग पीएचडी लेवल कोर्स. क्या बात है. सो दिस इज द डिफरेंस बिटवीन द लैंग्वेज ऑफ द बॉडी एंड लैंग्वेज ऑफ द सोल. फॉर द लैंग्वेज ऑफ द बॉडी यू नीड टू गो टू एलकेजी यूकेजी वॉट एवर नाउडेज. And you have to learn everything, you know, you don't expect the child to understand what you are talking. This is body level. So in the bodily language learning, this is the process. Whereas, in the spiritual level, you have direct access. Subtle, it's very subtle. Very subtle. For that matter, when Narada Muni was speaking, he was speaking at the pure spiritual level. And Prahlad could grasp it at that level. It is not possible for any ordinary child. Because the sound vibration, according to Vedas, there are four levels of sound vibration. Four levels. One is called Vaikari, material. Vyavaharik, material. Elav, Olekijav. This is normal language. We made the language out of this Vaikari. Sound, material sound. Actually, there's a difference between sound and noise. Noise means meaningless sound. What anything you got conveyed? I say, pagal to banane. You can't convey any meaning through that. If I am speaking something, I intend to convey something to you, and you receive it, that is called meaningful sound. It's called sound. Sound doesn't mean any noisy sound. According to scripture, divides sound from noise. Noise means meaningless sound. Jo meaning convey nahi karta, information is not conveyed, no information conveyed, it is called noise. So, in material level, it is all noise. That is what you need to learn, the language A, B, C, D, A, E, U, you need for that. Vaikari. Above Vaikari is Madhyama. Above Madhyama is Pashyanti, where you can see things as they are. The fourth level and highest level is called Para, transcendental, spiritual. Now, in Para sound, Vaikari noise, Para sound. In Para sound, there is no difference between the sound and the object. Krishna. Krishna looks like another sound. This is sound. Krishna is sound. This is noise. We say, scripture says that there is no difference between Krishna's holy name and Krishna. That is called Para. In spiritual world, there is no difference between sound and object. This is water. You don't see the water, but I see it. Water. H2O? Yahi kya? H2O? Pani, Jol, Neer. All languages got their own names. By chanting Jol, 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 will I get my thirst quenched? Prabhupada says, by chanting the name Mr. John, Mr. John, Mr. John, you don't get Mr. John there. Prabhupada says, you chant Krishna, 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 you can get Krishna. So there is no difference between object and sound, that is called Para. So there is no school. When you go to Goloka Vrindavan, they will not tell you first admit in LKG, UKG there. To learn the language there. Sadhasala nahi ho there. As soon as you go, Krishna is waiting. Hey Haribol, how are you? How long you are there? Come. He will understand it immediately, because at the spiritual level, there is no difference between the sound and object. Immediately you get into the language. You don't need to go to school there. So, Prahlad Maharaj was, by means of his own wonderful blessedness, he was already in the capacity to interact at the Para level of sound. So, because of which, when Narada Muni is speaking at the Para level, Prahlad Maharaj in the womb is also dealing with it in Para level, so he could understand what it is. One of the greatest thing of this Para level is that even though it is transcendental, it is available in Vaikari also. Para is a superset. Vaikari is a subset. Para is available here, but Vaikari is not available there. That is one of the greatest thing about chanting the holy name. We cannot chant the holy name, spiritual name, but we can only utter the sound vibration of the material, Vaikari. So Krishna is so merciful that he made available all the spiritual sound vibration also available in the Vaikari, so that we can start chanting it and advance slowly, 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 and come to the level of Para. When you come to the level of Para, you are already achieved chanting the pure holy names of the Lord. Pure chanting. When that happens, your heart is already cleansed. When that happens, you are ready to go back home, back to Godhead. When that happens, you will go to Krishna and talk to Him without having to undergo LKG, UKG in the Goloka Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Grantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaurav Premanande.